Hi, everybody. This is the American Idol recap here on Reality TV for Half Ups. My name is Mike Bloom, talking through the second week of the semifinals. The top 24 have now winnowed down to the top 14, and we are here to discuss the final set of solos and duets. But of course, I am not alone. To quote Colby Calais, one of the mentors this week, I'm lucky to be in love with my best friends. And that person,
I'm in love with my best friend.
Who's Colby and who's Garrett?
I'm Colby.
I can't do that thing with my eyebrows though.
Oh my god, I'm so over that eyebrow thing.
Like the rock eyebrow?
Yeah, no, he needs to stop that immediately.
And his girlfriend likes it. I mean, she went all the way out to LA to Miss Finals for that eyebrow.
I also love that they talked about how tall he is this week, because it was an eye opener for me.
When his girlfriend stood next to him, like,
I was like, wow, giant. Giant man.
Well, we're here to talk about the second part of the top 24. I will say, you know, I think we like the first group, but overall, I'll say that, and we were predicting this coming in, but this second group pretty much blew me away. Really killing our darlings this week.
Yeah, this was hard because I feel like we lost some people in this group that we did really like. But the people that we lost in this group, I think we also were okay with. Whereas last week we were upset that we lost some people. I was blown away by a lot of these performances, which was exciting. Whereas I think that last week it was like kind of just la-di-da. And I did feel like, you know, even the people that made it through, I was questioning some of the things that they did. Whereas the people that made it through this week, their performances were like slam dunk, slam dunk, slam dunk. So, yeah, I was excited for sure.
Yeah. And I think that if this is supposed to stoke our interest in these people as performers and, you know, lead us well into the rounds when we finally have the power to vote, I think that they accomplished this. I think this is a very, with maybe a couple of exceptions, people that I would want to switch out that I'm sure we'll talk about. I think this is a very, very strong top 14 overall.
Yeah, I agree. Because I think that after this episode, I feel like I have top favorites, whereas after last week's episode, I didn't feel like I had people that I liked, but I didn't feel like there were people that I wanted to necessarily, you know, vote for it, whether or not that's something that we do. There weren't people that I was like, I'm in on you. I'm all in on you. Like, you're my favorite. Whereas this week, I definitely have a top two.
Well, let's talk. We'll dive into that top two, I'm sure, as we work through here.
We'll chat about it.
So we'll talk through, you know, the contestants. We'll go singer by singer, but we'll sort of group together. We'll go in the order they perform their solos, but we'll also sort of bunch together their duet performances as well. I will say, again, no shade to the first week duet partners, but I feel like, I mean, specifically, I think the best duet partners came from this second group, from both a mentor level and from a performance level.
Yeah, they seemed a little bit more invested in the group. I mean, even down to Rachel Platten, like, she came in like and had done her research on who she was working with, and to a point where she was like, I know the judges said this about you, and that's why we're gonna do this. And it was like, oh, okay, that's great.
And it would have been crazier because instead of Rachel Platten and Alan Stone, we were supposed to have Tony Braxton
and Jesse J, which is crazy.
I don't know how they both got sick in the same week, unless they were like, I mean, kissing sick, each other,
sick, quote unquote. You really think they both got sick?
Those are pretty high names to bring in. Too.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think they both got sick, quote unquote. I think they lost, like, if not one of them got sick, fine. But, like, I think, like, when you say they fell ill, like, something happened. Like, maybe they just couldn't make it, or, like, something like that. And they're saying they got sick. Like, you really think they both got sick?
I don't know.
So naive,
Michael.
It's a
weird time of year. The weather's
Michael,
changing.
Michael, so naive.
Every day the deficit grows.
Every day the deficit grows.
I love Alan's. I need to, like...
Oh, yeah. I was happy to hear him again.
Yeah. I thought, and especially because, like, we'll talk about, you know, what's going on quite literally in the song. I think that
that was funny.
Just like, I didn't really
such
know
a
him.
Dude.
He's one of these people who are like, I didn't really know him coming in as an artist. And I'm like, I really enjoy you as a person and as a singer.
Yeah. As a person more than a singer, too. So
I will say my MVP, which I would not think going in terms of duet partners, is Lea Michele.
Same. Killed it.
Well, because I think the reputation that at least I have of her from all the behind the scenes stuff I've heard from her is that, like, she's a little diva-ish.
Yeah, and she wasn't at all.
And so I thought for a second, like, okay, she's just going to go in there and, like, sing and not really care about them. But she was so personally invested in both Ada and Journey that, you know, it really helped inform those performances, which, again, we'll get to it, but those might have been two of the strongest duet performances.
I agree. Yeah, I agree.
All right, so let's get into the actual performance itself. We'll get away from the celebs, back to the singers that we're going to be talking about each and every week here. Let's start with Amelia Hammer Harris.
All right, we'll talk about her.
In Hammer, as Angela's putting it in there.
Yeah.
So so coming into this, you were not the biggest fan of Amelia. Amelia does not end up making it through. So was that warranted in your opinion?
Oh yeah, for sure. So I don't dislike her as a performer, but I'm not invested in her as a human, as somebody that I can root for. I'm just not buying it. I think that's just my personal take on her. I'm sure that there are people out there that are big fans of hers. I just think it's quite forced. I think that she's a fine singer and I think she's good. I just don't think that she has the same oomph or feeling behind what she's doing to honestly stand up against the rest of these people.
Well, I think she has a very smooth and confident energy to her, but that works for certain songs and maybe not necessarily others.
And I don't even think it's just that. I just don't think that she's I just think it's too much self-confidence at some points where it's coming across as a little bit standoffish to me. I just feel like she's, or I don't even know if it's, I like, it's just this something. It's something I can't put my finger on, but I just don't like, I just don't, I'm just not buying what she's selling.
Mm-hmm. Not even, you're not going to buy her lime green pants?
I'm not. Even those. I'm just like, it's just too much for me.
Talking about tall, she seems like
she's very tall. Yeah, she is very tall.
Those dams. Let's talk about this. So she sings Imagine Dragons Believer for her solo song, her duet. She performs with Bebe Rexha on her song Me, Myself, and I. So I guess sort of taking those piecemeal. Yeah, I mean, this is maybe the amateur advice I will give to people on American Idol and singing shows. Stop singing Imagine Dragons. I think they're a fine band, but every time I've heard someone try to sing an Imagine Dragons song, it doesn't really work out for them. And it didn't really work out here.
It's a band. I mean, and here's the thing. I think when you sing a song that's by a band as a solo song, you have to be really, really careful because especially a song like Imagine Dragons, or a song by Imagine Dragons, they're a band that has a lot of electronica components to it. Mm-hmm. They do a lot of things that are a little bit more out there to be sort of futuristic in their sound. And I think when you break that down to a solo, it loses something, you know, because they're coming at you with a sound that's out of this world, bigger and the main singer's voice is great. But I think if you took away all the music behind it, it would be hard to even for them to sing it as a solo. You know, it's I think that you have to be super, super careful. And I don't think that she succeeded, in my opinion.
Well, I feel like her wheelhouse is more so these old school R&B soul songs in the vein of her late father.
Yeah, I don't think she has a belt either. When she tries to belt notes, it doesn't sound that good.
It sounded a little shaky. It's like she faltered on a couple of notes there. And I think, you know, Luke, which I think we've determined that Luke is the resident softy of the panel, which is saying something considering how soft all three.
Yeah, he's sort of the softy, but also he seems sort of bored at points. Gets easily bored.
And he was also he said, Ada, you're such an R&B singer.
I think that he is easily bored. So I think you have to really, really wow him. I don't think that yes, he's a softy, but I think he's also not easily entertained, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So I think that if you're entertaining Luke, maybe you're doing really, really well, because if he's giving you a one note answer or something that doesn't make sense, that means that you lost him.
I mean, yeah. And I mean, he also puts in a point of criticism here, though, where he says that, you know, for the first little bit, he thought she was chasing the tune until it finally hit that first chorus. So I would say not the strongest, you know, debut for her here. I think she redeemed herself on her duet. I mean, this might be a hot take. I think she sang the song better than Bebe Rexha, personally.
Yeah, I mean, Bebe Rexha is somebody who I was really intrigued by because she was the one that said that she tried out for American Idol, right? Which was really funny.
And was it somebody last week? It was Colby Calais also auditioned for American Idol.
Yeah, but quite a long time ago. But Bebe Rexha, more recently, I think.
This happened before. There are people like Tori Kelly who made it big.
But Bebe Rexha, her music is not something that I would say matches her tone of voice. Like when she was singing this song, I felt like with Amelia, I felt like she had such an interesting tone and such a like a good like ease about her, and she's clearly a great performer, whereas like that's something that I think Amelia is missing, where she doesn't have that, like it's not a natural ease, it's not a natural like comfort. I think she's forcing that a little bit.
Interesting, because I thought
not as confident in her voice, in my opinion.
I mean, I agree with the judges that I think that like she has a solid grip on the platform, and I think it's just a thing of like maybe there's more energy there. I mean, comparing her to like Bibi, who's like, hey, audience, sing along. And it's not like Bishop Briggs level of jumping around this stage, but like,
right. I don't know. I just didn't feel, I just don't feel it for Amelia.
Well,
too bad she's gone.
And I think that, you know, she brought an interesting, at least like soul element.
It's, yeah. I mean, we're like splitting hairs here. Like she was clearly talented, but like, yeah, I think if somebody had to go this episode, I'm not saying that she's somebody that I'm like gonna be terribly, terribly upset over.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if Ada Box had gone, I would have cried.
Would have caught you despondent.
Would have been upset.
Well, let's move on to someone who does end up making their way into the top 14. Let's talk about Garrett here. I'll admit, I was a little surprised.
I was surprised you got through, but I'm happy that the resident cutie patootie made it through.
Well, dude, but is now we have two resident cutie patooties.
Cutie patooties!
We got two cutie patooties. Do we feel like that was necessary? I'll be honest, maybe this is me like...
Are you talking about Johnny?
Yeah.
So, okay.
I mean, I'll be completely honest. I would have, out of this group, I would have subbed him out and put Effie in place.
I don't disagree with that. I feel like he is somebody who did a really good job with Colby Kai, but I don't necessarily think that his solo was something to, he sang a Shawn Mendes song, and I don't think that it was something that I was super, super impressed by. He always sounds like he's straining a little bit to sing the song. And I think if you close your eyes and listen to it, it sounds good. But I think when you're watching him, I'm always nervous he's going to crack,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I don't think that that's like something you want in a singer.
Yeah, I mean, so his solo song was Treat You Better by Shawn Mendes.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And he has like the tone for that Shawn Mendes thing. But to your point, it was a little high. Like I felt like he was reaching for some of those notes.
And he's missing the swagger still. Everyone talks about it.
He also went for the falsetto and it was a little screechy, unfortunately.
Yeah. Like how old is this kid again? He's like 18, right?
Yeah, I think he's in high school.
So
right
maybe
now.
His voice is still changing a little bit. We don't know.
Yeah, so
but he is 6'3", so maybe he's done growing.
Yeah, and I think that what did you think about you know, Lionel keeps talking about these young boys going out to the audience, and he says like the first time, like, Johnny, you need to go out there and do this.
I want them to stop telling them.
Bring it back. Like, stop doing that.
I want them to stop guiding them in that way, because I feel like it's weird. Because I think that they need to be natural on stage, and by telling them to do something that's unnatural to them, it makes it worse. So like you need to guide them in a way that's like, don't tell them it's, and I think that every director, every producer would say this, like you don't direct by giving them things to do exactly. Like Lionel was like, yeah, you need to point here and point there. That's not how you direct. You don't go up on stage and like do the blocking for somebody and say, this is exactly what you need to do. You guide them on how to be in their body and how to be in the movement. So like, I think that him being partnered with Colby this week was good, because she was like, this is how you'll be better at being more natural on stage. You know, so I think that that is probably the better way to approach it, because if you try to tell an 18-year-old boy like how to have swagger, it's like not going to work. You can't tell him like, okay, go out into the audience and like touch girls' hands and point at them. And then like, then do this and back up three steps and do that. And it's like, well, that's not really telling them how to be a good performer. That's just telling them the blocking.
Yeah, it's telling them the blocking. Exactly. Well, that's why, you know, when American Idol 4 first came around, Carrie Underwood's nickname became like Farm Bot among the internet, because it was just like, she had a great voice, but she performed very robotically. And she sort of grew into that. But I think Katie was sort of making the point along the line of what you were saying when she says like, hey, for the duets, just like relax into it and don't think about it too much, because you could definitely feel a certain amount of like, all right, now I step out into the audience and now I go back and do
and
this.
That's, I think, because Luke and Lionel are like giving them these directions of go here, do this, do that. And I think that's just because they don't have necessarily the experience like mentoring
or maybe,
somebody.
Yeah, exactly. Because maybe they feel like, because he's so young, because I think that one of the things that American Idol really puts out is, hey, these are, for the most part, like young, some more unseasoned performers, and we're going to sort of take this ball of clay and mold it into something. So maybe that's sort of them being a little too hands-on. But all that being said, I'm glad he took maybe Katie's advice, and to your point, maybe Colby helped with this for the duet of Lucky. I will say, if you're taking the circumstances out that this is an 18-year-old boy singing this to...
Yeah, just like guide him, don't direct him.
Yeah, but I think that once you take the circumstances out of like this idea of here's an 18-year-old boy singing this song to a woman in her 30s.
Yeah, just like let them sit on the chair and like just like have like an easy back and forth.
I thought that he sounded really good, especially when he started off singing. I thought that he sounded even at that moment much better than his solo. He felt more comfortable.
Yeah, he definitely stepped it up for the the duet.
I mean, he also just sat there, didn't get up and do anything.
Yeah, and I think that their back and forth was really, really good because they made it more of a happy song rather than a romantic song because, yeah, she's much older than him. And if they were, like, pretending like they were in love, it would have been weird.
Yeah, the notes were there. I mean, I would say the chemistry was not concerning that they were both instructed to think of someone else while they were doing it.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, I would not say that he... You know, if we're like power ranking the top 14 now.
Yeah, he's not really near the top.
I still might put him in the bottom. It's so interesting that like Luke outright says you're not the best singer. But I think that they speak often towards this like element of star quality and persona. And
he's a heartthrob.
Yeah, and like
he's
demos.
He's got that like quality to him. Also, his girlfriend showed up, which was so, so cute.
Yeah, I wonder, this is me putting the tinfoil hat on. Do you think they really would have let him go on a night where his girlfriend drove across country to go see him?
Yes, because they are like, this group of judges are cutthroat.
You think so?
They're a little cutthroat. Like, I think
Katie keeps protesting.
I guess, but they're like a little cutthroat. I mean, they let people go like... Like when they, I don't know, like when they, their entire family of like 13 come out to see them, you know? So I feel like, but that was really, really cute. Like his face when he saw her in the audience was like so precious. So
what did you think of that picture of Ryan playing football?
I died. I thought it was so funny because he is so tiny.
Yeah, here's the thing. Like, I know people rag on Ryan Seacrest. I can't rag on him too much because now he's starting to like steer into the curve.
He's just like a doober. He's like such a goofball.
He's like, I realize that I'm short, but I actually did play football. And to see him in all this football gear is a pretty fantastic image.
And such like a vintage photo too. I really like that.
Well, let's move on to somebody who you're probably going to enjoy as much as a picture of Ryan Seacrest in a football uniform.
Yes. Maddie.
Maddie Poppy.
How can you not love Maddie Poppy? So she like blew me away this week. Mm-hmm. So her first night, she sings a song that, first of all, shame on the judges for not knowing this.
Specifically Luke.
Okay. Shame on Luke, Brian, for not knowing this song. This is a classic... country folk song from the 70s. He calls himself a country artist. This is like a country folk song from the 70s. My mom sings this and plays it on guitar all the time.
I'm pretty sure this is also like history in the making. This actually might be the first time in 16 seasons of Idol that Brand New Key by Nina Simone, not by Nina Simone, by Melanie. Nina Simone makes several like, other appearances here.
No.
was performed on the show. And I mean, it was just... It was and it's a hard song to sing.
Oh yeah, you got to go all the way up and then all the way down.
Yeah,
and then
you're
all the way up
going
and then
between,
all the way
like,
down.
Head voice and
I
your chest.
I got a brand new pair of roller skates.
Without making it seem like there's a break.
Yeah,
you know?
No break at all. And she blows it out of the park. And she's also somebody who has such an ease on stage.
Yeah.
And she's just so comfortable in her voice and who she is as like a performer that I just love her. I think she's great. I mean, she's somebody who there are a lot of performers and artists out there like her, but I think that she's made it this far because she has that something, that special something about her that like just draws you to her.
Well, to your point, there is something about her that you could see in a lot of coffee shops around.
Exactly.
But nobody on American Idol, I feel like in the past, we've had a lot of country, mm-hmm. pop, rock, but we've really not had somebody into that like...
Nobody makes it this far who does this. They always let people through the audition process to Hollywood that sound like her. And then for some reason, they always cut them like past top 50. And like, she's the first one I've seen get it to this far and now into the top 14 that, you know, sound like this and do this. And I think that's really great. And she proves herself in the duet phase that she can really hold her own against like a really, really great performer.
Yeah, I mean, that was an incredible duet as well.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And then their voices fit so well together. They also literally sound like the same person.
Oh my god, yeah.
So it's like somebody singing doubled up with themselves.
And Colby is like a like Luke and I think Katie were saying, a seasoned veteran performer. She has done this for a long time. She knows what she's doing. She's comfortable on stage. And Maddie sat next to her like she's been doing it with her the whole time. And I think that I was talking to you about this as well, that right before we saw them perform, it was interesting because Maddie talks a lot about how she has like really bad stage fright.
Yeah,
and that she,
because I think when she was talking with Bobby Bones, she talked about her like self-doubt as well.
Yeah, she's like self-conscious.
Like I set low expectations for myself. Like I thought, I think I can make it to top five. And Bobby's like, what are you talking about?
You're like clearly the front runner in my mind. And so it's funny that she's like so self-conscious when she's so talented. And I think that having her do something next to somebody who is so well-known and such a good performer and really blow it out of the park hopefully will help her beat that. But I was mentioning to you, typically on American Idol and other shows, we were wondering if the judges are seeing these prepackaged tapes before they're performing. And I don't think they are because, you know, it, and I think that's good because Maddie goes on stage and performs with Colby and the judges are have no idea that right before that she, you know, we saw a presentation about how she was feeling anxious because the judges even made a point to say, you look so comfortable up there. You know, but without saying like we know you were anxious, but
yeah,
like they have no idea that she felt that way.
Yeah, usually, and this is going into a little bit of like the, you know, the granular aspects of it, but usually what they'll do is Ryan will be like, all right, let's hear what Maddie had to talk about with her choice for this song. And it'll cut to the screen behind them. And then that screen will sort of fade into a
the
bigger screen for us,
yeah,
for us to view, you know, their thinking behind it. So I would always assume that they were watching it beforehand as they get set up, but there was no screen,
yeah,
that I could see on the stage. So my assumption is, and especially because this was not live, my
right,
assumption was that they just sort of cut together.
Which,
you know,
I loved, because I think that if the judges had seen what she had been feeling before she performed, it might have tainted how she did, I think. Because
yeah,
there, it's like, it's just the human condition to be like, oh, she had some like jitters, and then like we're watching her like now,
and you're like nitpicking now.
And now I can see that she's jittery, you know. But
yeah,
if they hadn't seen that, like, then they would never have known.
Yeah, I mean, and especially going back to the duet, that ending when it was like pretty much a cappella of just the two of them singing,
so harmony, good
was really,
and it's really hard to do that. I mean, there's like 1,000 people there. It's crazy.
Yeah. And also the fact that, you know, the thing about Maddie too is that she impressed so much by not like running around the stage and doing anything. Both times, both songs she did, she was completely still, but like
that's hard.
But her just like genial quality and her just smile just sort of like brought
it's effortless in. It's effortless, and that's what I'm saying about her, that I think that she's somebody who draws you into her effortlessly, and there's just like a quality about her that I find so intriguing. And I'm not usually one to like fawn over a contestant on a reality show. Like, I don't usually get obsessed,
except for
like,
Jonathan.
Except for Jonathan. No, that's not true. I'm not like obsessed with Jonathan, but he's like a precious little muffin. But I do think that Maddie, like, especially on these like competitive shows where there's like a talent aspect to it, I find that I get like too they usually end up disappointing me in some way. So, but I feel like with Maddie, there's no way that she could like let me down because she's just so like talented, and I feel like even after the show, like, she'll be producing content that's going to be great, you know.
Do you agree with Luke saying that, or Lionel maybe, that said that she's the most complete artist left in the group?
Yeah, because she writes her own stuff too, doesn't she?
She does write her own stuff. I would say that like maybe next to her would be somebody like Cade, who like is so,
yes,
is very confident in who he is and his stage presence, that like he has his own lane that he's driving down. I think like they both have that.
Perhaps, but and then Katie Turner, who is somebody who writes her own music as well. I think that that makes a complete artist in their mind, is somebody who's got the voice singing, and then the voice, like what they're producing content wise, and then a way to like get it out there with their personality. So I think like him, Kate and Katie are people who are like getting that out there.
So let's move on here to Ada Vox.
Ada, so
yeah,
good.
You told me you are like, now, I mean, again, this is maybe two for two in your standings.
Yeah.
Well, I think we've pretty much found your top two, but yeah, you were bowled over,
yeah,
by Ada this week.
I was blown away. And I think that she, I think that that's not an uncommon perception about her. She killed it, and especially in the duet.
Yes,
because I do think that the solo was good. She sang "Feeling Good" by Nina Simone, which was amazing, and it blew me away, but it was also like par for the course. It was very expected.
Yeah, well, because I think that song also is almost always well done because it has a natural build to it as well, where like you don't need to do that much. And I love the performance as well. The only minor critique I had for it was that like she was doing a lot of, which I think we had some concerns with, and the judges did too before, you know, in the showcase stuff, a little bit of vocal gymnastics.
Yeah, she was just like going for those high notes in a way that was like, let me show you what I can do in a way that's like not always necessary.
Yeah, which, so I'm happy that we had this back to back because I think, to your point, it really showed her range. I mean, and she has a fantastic vocal range, but in terms of like, I guess emotional range, because it was much more her and Lea Michele did Defying Gravity, the Glee version that
Rachel and Kurt did.
And I think that
I die.
And I think that Ada was, and I'm glad that Lea gave her that advice as well, to be like a little more emotionally contained,
like bring it down a little bit,
go for those notes when you want to, which she really did.
But there are the soft points, she said.
Yeah.
And I think that she also. Yeah, in this, in so Lea Michele, this is another point where she really was a mentor, and in a way that like really surprised me, because I think that she could have easily just popped in, sang, popped out. And I think that she really like honed in on her and was like, I'm really, admiring what you're doing here, and I want to help you succeed. So like, let's really pick this apart. Let's find the parts where you can shine. Let's find the parts where you're going to step back. And then, they tore that stage apart.
Yeah.
When I was watching that, I was like, I had goosebumps. I was like, oh my God.
Their voices just work so well together. I mean, since Ada is a man, she had like a much, like, she was able to really substantiate those lower notes on the harmonies. I mean, the like, they were just so blended well together. They got a little, you know, shouty and shaky when they got up to the top at the very end.
It didn't matter because it had that emotional feel to it.
And they were very high notes. It's just, I was so happy with how she did both times, and I really liked Feeling Good as well, because again, I like the contrast that here she does, I mean, to Luke's point, she's not doing R&B, but she does do a lot of like ballads, like soul.
Yeah, I mean,
ballads.
this is a Broadway song, so it doesn't make sense to do it in a way that isn't that.
Yeah,
and I don't like when people do that, when they sing a Broadway song that, you know, like is like Defying Gravity and they don't sing it like Defying Gravity, like that's not fun to me. Like, sing Defying Gravity. Sing it.
Well, even Feeling Good, though, was a little more like up tempo and like sing the heck out of it. And so she was tearing up that stage. Did you also like her big old hair during her duet with
Lea
Michele?
She had a loaf on her head.
I know. Though we also
does Brent watch American Idol?
I feel like I should just send him pictures.
Just send him pictures, and let's get, for next episode, let's get Brent's hot takes on Ada Vox's beat.
Well, I think
it's getting better
because we noticed like,
but the loaf was a lot. I wanted like Brent's hot takes on the loaf.
Very granular in this, but she did have, I noticed during her solo performance, she had highlighter.
She did have highlighter. She's been doing the highlighter, which is good.
I also loved her sit down with Bobby Bones. She had a great line where she said it's very expensive to look this cheap.
Yeah, that was funny too. Yeah, she's a funny drag queen. I think that she's like, and I would love to see maybe moving forward, and clearly she makes it, guys. I think it'd be funny, you know, how they start doing like the one-on-ones with them and like the top 14 where they start delving a little bit into their backgrounds and like doing a little bit more like tongue-in-cheek stuff with them. Like, let's get some comedy queen stuff in here.
Yeah.
Like, let's get some Ada Vox one-on-one action.
What did you think as well? This is like cutting to the end a bit, but when they announce who's going through, you noticed this when we were watching together, Katy Perry, like who's next going through? Pregnant pause. Katy just stands
goes,
up, stops,
Ada!
And goes, Ada! Like, I don't know if she's yelling at like on the Flintstones or something, or the Jetsons.
I thought she was yelling at like, it was like kind of like Stella. Like,
oh, you think she was like, you're like, oh, you're tearing me apart.
Yeah, kind of. Or she's getting her groove back or something.
I mean,
Katy
is obsessed with Ada.
How can you not be?
She,
I feel
made
like
her
this
fall to her knees, like, screw you, Noah Davis, wig flu.
Yeah, she did say wig flu, which is actually more appropriate in this situation because she's wearing a wig. But yeah, I feel like it was, she's the kind of person that Katy wants on her like little squad of like followers.
Yeah, her entourage.
Her entourage.
Squad goals.
Squad goals. Yeah. No, I'm obsessed with Ada. Yeah, my top two right now, I mean, not that I have like a solid, it's not like set in stone, but I'm really into Maddie and I'm really into Ada.
Mm-hmm. I would put those two in there. I feel like I have like a top five that maybe we can talk about.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I just mean, after watching this episode, I got really, really hyped on them.
Agreed. I think they both knocked it out of the park.
And that's like times. That's like me forgetting about anyone that performed last time.
Let's talk about our next performer, Caleb Lee Hutchinson.
Caleb.
Our lone country guy.
Mr. Our lone ranger.
Yeah, Mr. Deep Boy Scotty McCreery 2.0, to the point of where Scotty McCreery comes in to give him
this
some,
was awkward.
To see in the radio station to give some advice. I mean, it wasn't really even Bobby Bones mentoring. It was Scotty McCreery and mentoring.
Caleb was this was like a definite shining moment to me of how young Caleb is. Yeah. He is like a little bit of a goober, which I love about him, because I think up until this point he's been coming across as so mature, mm-hmm. which is good that he can do that. He can be professional, he can be mature, but I love that he was like trying to make jokes about Scotty McCreery, and Scotty McCreery was like not doing it.
I love Caleb's personality.
Yeah, he's like such a dude. He's so funny.
Stuff, when he performed
I died.
He was so deadpan in their pre taping. I loved it.
I know. And then he was like, Can I get one of those necklaces? And she was like, yeah, we'll get it done. She was like, I'm serious. I hope that he has a necklace.
And then he's
next
like,
time he performs.
Can I also get a diamond instead of Lamborghini?
Yeah, I died. It was so funny. Yeah, he's like, you can tell that he's a high schooler. And yeah. I like that because.
I like that too, because I like that he's showing his goofier side, because like, no offense to Scotty McCreery. Scotty McCreery was.
Too serious.
Yeah, it was not really that. He was more so a 16-year-old boy. So I think that I'm glad that we're starting to see, you know, Caleb awaken a little bit. That being said, what did you think about his two performances? So his solo was Die a Happy Man, and he was the first duet with Meant to Be by Bebe Rexha taking the place of Florida Georgia Line in that duet.
Yeah, so I liked the first song, but it's not a song that I'm familiar with. I mean, what is it? Die a Happy Man by Thomas Rhett. I mean, I don't. And it's not something I know very well, but it sounded really great. He sounded like he was like in it to win it. And he sang some high notes that were really, really good, which is not something that we'd heard him do before. Mm-hmm. So I really liked that. But then he killed it during the duet round with Bebe Rexha. I loved that. I think he sounded so good, and he was like loosened up a little bit. He was doing some like driving choreography, which they're pointing out, which let's work on that a little.
Ride with me.
Where he was like grabbing the wheel of a car, for anyone that's like listening to this, which is everybody.
Which is everybody. Yeah.
We don't do
video. Only the two of us look at each other while we're doing this.
We do, don't we? So I love Caleb. I think that he's definitely up there for me. I think that he's got such a unique voice, and like they keep saying, it's his identity. But I love that there are these personality quirks coming out on top of that. And I liked that he blended so well with Bebe Rexha. Yeah. I didn't expect that he would. That was one of the ones we were looking at last week going, I don't know how this is going to go. She's completely different than him. And so I was happy to see that worked. I mean, the judges were like, he was shaky. There were some pitch issues, but, you know, I don't know. I didn't really hear that many.
Yeah, I thought again, maybe it's because we didn't really have a lot of performances to compare it against. I thought maybe he was a little shakier on the high notes than you do. But I mean, I think that I think overall he's solid. I really am hoping that he stays on this good energy and brings some of those more energetic vibes out, because I think that he does really well on the country songs, but sometimes and no shade to country music, but sometimes when you listen to enough of those like slow storytelling ballads, it like sucks in a little bit of energy. And if you're up against Firecrackers and some of these other performers, like you said, it can be a little one note. So I'm happy that we saw it. He also seems more confident. I mean, he said that in between, I guess the showcase in the top 24, he lost 70 pounds.
70 pounds.
Since auditioning.
And they were like, how have you been doing that? And he was like, hey, I woke up one morning and I was like, hey, wouldn't it be cool if I drank water and walked at night? Stop. Just get out of here. Get off my TV. You're too much. Yeah. You're cracking me up.
So I'm happy to see him, and we'll see.
Like, that's the kind of stuff that makes me love him, because he's such like a high school boy. Like, hey, wouldn't it be cool if I just drank water and walked at night?
It'll be interesting as well if we're looking towards the like demos of it all. Him and Gabby are the only two country people there. So
yeah, and even Gabby has like a sort of country pop thing going on.
Yeah, so he's really driving in his own lane.
Driving.
So we'll see. We'll see if that bodes well for Caleb. Let's go back to the no pile. Let's go to Effie Passero. I felt really sad to see Effie go, just because I think she was so unique compared to the rest of the contestants in so many ways that it stinks she didn't move forward.
I just think for Effie, she didn't have in her lane, like nothing coming from the judges, but coming from underneath her own butt, like a fire. Mm-hmm. I think that she has the voice. She had the uniqueness. She had the performance capabilities. Every time she would perform, though, I just needed like a little bit more.
So
you know,
that, like Katie's reference about like you're making magic jump into the stardust. That sort of weird analogy.
Yeah, just like give it a little bit, like rev the engine just a little bit more, because like she's clearly capable. And I think that she just like there was something about her that just came across as a little bit like not necessarily like 100% there. Mm-hmm. Like, I think she's one of these people that if she came back in another season and was like, you know, I did some self meditation, I did some self like assessing and I'm in a better place now and I feel like I'm ready for this, I would believe it. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like there's something going on with her that like we don't know about. Cause I feel like it's like on the surface. Like I don't feel like she's necessarily giving us her all.
Yeah, I mean,
and that's how I feel. That's what I feel like. There were the only thing that I can see why she would get cut here. Like,
I mean, the voice is absolutely there.
Yeah,
I think to your point, I do agree that it. I don't know if it's a stage presence thing. Maybe it's just an energy thing. Like she,
yeah, like an energy thing.
Like,
yeah.
from a vocal perspective, she crushed Barracuda. It was
My god, that was so fun
it
too.
Was totally like in her wheelhouse. She sang Heart before, so it makes sense. But I feel like. Even just her outfit, sort of like coming out in like this summer picnic
dress.
It's not
put together. It's weird.
It just didn't seem like it was like that. And I think it's almost
like an identity thing. Like she doesn't know who she is.
Yeah,
really.
Like, I kind of want her to like walk out in like a little bit more of like a I'm a rocker and I'm going to own it type of thing.
Yeah. And you know, I've seen this type of person before. They're the people that are like, it's like a rockabilly thing where it's like like you're kind of wearing 50s clothes, but you have tattoos and you're like, that's okay. That's a thing too. But I think that it came across a little bit messy. So like, you're on American Idol, maybe go buy a new dress then, like get like a little bit more of like a put together look, because it did come across a little messy, I will say.
Yeah, but I thought that her look was better probably for the second song.
I agree. Yeah.
She was the last duet to go with the elusive Cam, who we finally got to see this week.
Do you? So this was where Jessie J was supposed to come in. So yes. She was supposed to perform with Jessie J and then was told like the day of that Jessie J wasn't coming.
Yeah.
And she was going to perform a song with Cam. And she was going to perform a country song called Diane. And she learned it in 15 minutes. Do you think that if Jessie J had come, she would have made it through?
No.
No,
because okay. I think that she killed this duet.
Yeah, I do too. I just wonder if it like if her confidence would have been better, if like something else would have been better. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, I don't think so either. But I just sort of think that was like kind of a shitty situation.
Yeah, I mean, I'm wondering, I guess, like because I think another reason maybe why. Yeah, it's tough to say. Like, I'm wondering.
I also really like this song, by the way.
I thought,
it's like the new Jolene.
I mean, the way it started and the way it got to the chorus with just these like this beautiful mix of voices between her.
The way it started was like a blow in your face. It was like, whoa, duet.
And I will say that like the mixing was great. I felt like I kind of wanted them to sing more and the background singers to do less, just because it was like like you said, it was a blast. But it was such a powerful way to start the song, and you could tell like. Again, if you think on paper, Effie's singing country, you're like, oh, we'll see how this goes.
She sounded great. She has a good voice.
She sounded great, and she worked really well with Cam. So, yeah, I'm really sad to see Effie go.
Yeah.
But because I think that she has, I mean, again, if we're putting her up against Garrett, she has a much more powerful voice than Garrett, but maybe it was just something that the judges thought, like, you need to work on owning that stage more, which is
like you need to be more invested in this, and we just don't think you are. And if like you can't convince the judges that you're invested in this, how are you going to convince America that you're invested in this? So
I still think it's crazy, going back to the point you made before, that she learned this in 15 minutes. I'm assuming that she knew the song beforehand and just like had to read.
How? I've never heard of it.
I mean, I don't know. She sang a Garth Brooks song for her.
I don't think she knew it. It says it, to be fair, though, if I had heard that once, I probably could have learned it in 15
Diane,
minutes.
Diane, Gold Band, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, like it wasn't like the world's hardest song. It wasn't like the Hallelujah chorus here. So imagine
Hallelujah chorus is pretty easy, though. It's just Hallelujah for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And then
humble brag much.
We have to sing it every single year.
No, I know it too. It's fine. Let's talk about our next contestant, Alyssa Ragu. I'm not shocked that she went.
Exactly. I was hopeful
that
for
she
her.
Would, like, knock it out of the park here. But
I was watching like teenagers get through, and I was watching others get through, and I'm like, Ragu would like have to really, really impress. And unfortunately, I think her and Mara were sort of going for the same
slot.
And I think that unfortunately, Mara just outshone Raghu in her choices this week.
And what also sucks is I think it's been coming because they sort of have been giving us this storyline. Once the judges give you this storyline, it's hard to get off of that track of, we think you have a great voice, but we're just not sure it's ready for the American Idol stage because you're so young, because of this, because of that. You know, it's like once they've given you that backstory, once they like see you through that lens, it's like very difficult to shake that. So I think like anything she did, it would have been hard for her to get through here. And I think what she did in both nights, in my opinion, was really good. Mm-hmm. I know you have your own take on the duets, but I think what she did for the first night, she sang Stay by Rihanna, was amazing.
Yeah, I thought she,
for her voice and like for her age, it was like, wow, like she could get a $3,000 billion scholarship to a university with that. Like, yeah, she should
wish it might cost $3,000 billion.
Hey, you know what?
I think that
I'm tired.
That's something that I always liked about Raghu, is that like she did not have a tone for someone who was 15.
No, like, not at all.
It's like a dusky alto.
To be fair, none of these people have the tone for the age that they are, but
for the most part. But I think that, yeah, I think she sounded good on Stay. I mean, she had the like weird pre-tape thing with Bobby Bones, where Bobby's like, you're gonna learn how to be comfortable, it's a walk-off.
Oh, I didn't like that at all, because I don't ever think that she was like super uncomfortable on stage.
No.
And then he made her like swing her arms, and like that was weird.
And then
I think it set her up to be more uncomfortable on stage.
Yeah, considering that she opens up with like, how you doing tonight? Like,
oh, it was so bad. That's what I mean. Okay, so that's what, again, pointing out what they were doing with Garrett and Johnny, like, you can't say do this on stage, because then they're going to do that and it's going to be weird. Mm-hmm. Like, so that's what happened with Raghu. But I felt like she had, I felt like what he said to her, like, your minor movements matter, was good, because I do think that's important.
And I think that she did well on that too. Just, yeah, like these little subtle things, instead of just like standing still.
Especially when you're singing a song like Stay by Rihanna, where you're just in front of a microphone.
Yeah. And then also, I mean, if we're talking a little bit about like Layla's song choice last week, Stay, I wouldn't necessarily say that's exactly the great best material lyric wise for a 15-year-old.
No, not at all.
And also this in the judges critiques of her song, Lionel brings out weird wackadoo analogy about how she's a, you know, when you have a little chicken on Monday,
oh my god, yeah,
and
what
Friday
was that,
a full grown chicken.
Yeah, what did he say though? He was like, it was like something like
he said like, you have an like you have a little chick at the beginning of the week, and by the end of the week you have a full grown chicken.
But like, what?
I do not raise chickens, so I don't know what their maturity
this is
rate
like,
is, but
this is like when when Monet Exchange thought that accents happened on RuPaul's Drag Race.
So as we found out,
was correct.
It might be true. Yeah, so I mean,
Lionel has lost me a little bit this past week. I don't think is in his comfort zone here, because he's having to give too much criticism. I think he needs to be in the spot where he can say, you know, that was really good, that was really bad.
But if we're moving on to the duets, he gives, I would say, the biggest piece of criticism from both weeks, when he talks about
how he
felt the song wasn't right for her and he got booed.
Yeah, because I don't think it was the time or place to say that. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I would rather, like, maybe it's just because I was like thirsting for that. I was thirsting for somebody to like,
I just don't think he said it right either. He was just like, the way he said it was like, what did he say? He was like, I don't think that that was,
I don't think the song gave you what makes you special, I think is what he said.
Yeah, something like that. But I just felt like the way you said it, the way you give critique is you start off with something positive and then you give the negative. Mm-hmm. He did not do that. He just gave the negative. And it's just like, okay, well, that's the way to get booed for sure. You know?
Well, the thing is, and maybe I'm just inclined to it because I personally sort of agree with it. I think that much like KK unfortunately got done last week with singing, you know, with Train.
Yeah.
Alyssa Raghu and Banners were like,
they were on different pages.
They were like peanut butter and hot sauce.
See, I am not quite as far on the same page as you. So you had told me this before I started listening to it. So, because you watched before I did, and then you were like, you were like, I don't know, they don't do so good, because I forced you to tell me. You usually are very good and don't tell me things, but and I make him tell me stuff. Like right before,
like literally before each person's name was announced, you turn to me and you're like, who is it?
And I'm like, tell me, tell me. And he's like, it's gonna happen in 2 seconds. Why do you need to know?
Extremely for the first like months we dated, it's extremely tension filled and anxiety ridden. Now I just sort of like, it's par for the course.
And also I assume he knows stuff before things happen because of like Survivor and like all these things, but I don't know why he would know that. But yeah, so with this, I felt like I went into it thinking it was going to be really bad, and I don't think it was really bad. I felt like it had, so I closed my eyes and I listened to it, and I felt like it was actually an interesting sound. I liked that it was kind of disparate, but I also felt like the song didn't allow, it was like kind of like you said, it was a man's song and the range was not really great for her.
Yeah, so it's Yellow by Coldplay, which she says she compares to the national anthem. It's like, if you screw up Yellow, like, you're okay if you screw up Yellow.
Well, that's the thing, he was like, I really want to sing Yellow on stage, so it was perfect in his key. He yeah. made it perfect in his key, so he sounded great, which I felt like was really selfish. Like,
yeah, banners.
No, I'm not kidding, he sounded amazing, and he was just singing it. He wasn't trying to like mix with her at all.
Yeah, I think that was the issue, was like specifically on the choruses when they were singing in harmony. Because of the range, he was singing in falsetto and she was belting.
So, because there was no way for her to sing in the falsetto. And that's, Yellow is about that falsetto tone.
Yeah.
So the problem is that like, I don't think that Yellow is the kind of song that leads itself to like an ultimate like climax moment anyway.
Yeah.
And that's sort of what the judges were looking for. You could tell like they were like, Katie was like, come on, go, go, go. And like, there was no way that Alyssa could do that because Banners was doing it in the falsetto range.
I mean, I don't think he was really showcased. I mean, I think she was trying to put her own flair on it by like, I noticed when she was singing.
I mean,
her
stuff, she did the best she could, yeah, honestly.
And she was trying to like put some runs into it to like at least make it more Alyssa. Because I know, I just personally feel like she kind of got backed into a corner with this song choice.
There was nothing she could do.
And which is unfortunate, because again, I'll say with KK as well, I think the duets for the most point were pulled off really well, but I'd say there was one every week that unfortunately it was just a bad pairing, and I think this is the
yeah
one.
And that's why I say that I don't think it sounded terrible. I didn't hate the blend of their voices, because I think that she did a good job of making it work, but I do think that she was set up for like an ultimate like fall in a way.
Yeah, which is sad, because I really liked Regu. I was, you know,
and her tone is out of this world.
Yeah, and I was shouting from the mountaintops about her from our very first podcast. So
got some ragu on our pasta.
Yeah, hands off my spaghetti sauce.
Hands off my ragu.
Yeah, nothing like making a joke, an inside joke, and then having to explain said inside joke on television.
Hilarious.
Well, let's move into our next contestant here. Let's talk about Marcio. I was stunned by Marcio this week, because I think like going in, when we did our top 24 preview, we're like, yeah, if we're comparing Marcio and Dennis, we'll take Marcio over Dennis, but like, he's good, he's something that really, like, I would not put him in the top tier, but I personally would put him in the top tier after this week. I think that,
yeah,
what I think the judge's point of him having grown the most out of all the contestants, I think is completely valid.
Let's talk about how Marcio doesn't understand social media.
I don't know, I felt kind of bad that, like...
Yeah, like, that's not something we needed to point out on national television.
Yeah, being like, look how much you suck at this. It's not like you're taking care of a kid or anything.
Yeah, and also, like, he's been a little busy, Bobby. Like, he's on American Idol.
Yeah, but he's like, a busy Bobby.
He pulls up his Instagram and was like, you don't even have a picture of yourself, like, as your profile.
Hey, listen, news to Bobby Bones, I don't even have Instagram.
Yeah, but he has, like, a profile on Instagram. He just doesn't have a picture, like, for his profile picture, so... Like,
but he also like rarely posts on there.
He doesn't have any posts. So he set it up and then didn't do anything with it. But he also apparently has an Instagram for his son. Like, so he posts pictures of his son, which I think is cute. That's what it's for when you're a parent.
Do you think he posts pictures of his son in first person, though? Like, yes, oh, I love crawling across the floor.
Yeah, that's what he said. He has like an Instagram of his son, which I think is hilarious. It's like, I have the one of my dog, and it's, she lives on the Upper West Side.
She does.
In an apartment with her parents.
So let's talk about his first song here, Inseparable by Natalie Cole. I mean, honestly, of all the contestants, he emotes so much. Maybe a little too much.
I think a little too much.
There's
sometimes
a lot of, like, facial contortions going on sometimes. But
and then he cries at the end of every song.
I mean, he didn't cry at the end of his duet, thank God, but he definitely cries at the end of Inseparable, just because I forget if the judges talk about this, it feels like he throws himself into each and every song.
Which is good.
To the point of where it's like when an actor, like, is so in it and method that, like, by the end, they're, like, emotionally drained at the end of every performance.
Yeah, I agree. I don't dislike that about him. I think that it's just something he needs to hone and control a little bit more.
I'd agree. But
otherwise, he'll be exhausted.
He really sang the hell out of it. It was so smooth, so soulful. And I loved just these random... I mean, he's done it twice, so hopefully he won't go into this trope too much. But, like, going from the high down into, like, the low baritone range for a couple of those notes, I thought was, like, a really nice touch. I think... The weird faces were interesting, but other than that, I think...
The picture that we have up on our board, he's making a weird face. Do you see it?
I think it's just
like a sad face.
I think
he's
just
like,
the way that some people sing, but if he gets that beautiful tone coming out of those weird faces, I'm all for it.
Yeah, no, he's good. I think that he's somebody who has grown a lot, too. I think that we were impressed with him during his first audition, but not sure if he would make it, and I'm glad that he's gotten this far.
Yeah, I mean... I think as well, it's interesting that, you know, he got like, it was the only time like the crowd like chanted his name, like the
Marcio.
Yeah, the judges like came
like,
to hug him
Rufio.
Afterwards. Yeah, exactly. He's going to come in and join the Lost Boys. But let's talk about, so he is the other last minute sub.
Yeah.
So he was supposed to perform with Toni Braxton.
Toni Braxton.
And Toni got sick, in quotes. And so Alan,
I believe Toni got sick.
And so Alan Stone... to the rescue, and they sing What's Going On. I mean, it might be a little biased just because I love this song, but this was
a good song.
This
yeah,
so much fun.
Yeah, and I think that it actually works. I don't know if this was the song he was going to sing with Toni Braxton, but if it was...
It's probably like Unbreak My Heart or something.
Oh, maybe. But say it was, it works so much better with Alan Stone. It works so much better with a man.
Yeah.
You know, so I feel like it... This was such like almost like a little bit of a saving grace for him because he got to have do this like fun, upbeat song that like really showcases a side of his personality that was like very different from the one we saw the previous night. So yeah,
he had such a good stage presence of just like
dancing. Yeah, he was like beboppy and like touching himself and like feeling
and, like,
it
and like playing with Alan Stone, who like stood still the entire time because he had a guitar. But like
but he was bopping. He was grooving.
But like and I liked Marcio also being like, ladies and gentlemen, Alan Stone.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, he's such a ham. I mean, I feel like he just like gets into it.
But I mean, I thought it ended up being a really good song for him. And I thought they did really well together. And it was just a nice song to listen to. They both had such good voices that were so set for the song.
Yeah. And I think that he's somebody who will just do really well in the competition because there's a way that he can tackle almost any song.
Also, Katie has kept a couple of American Idol catchphrases in her back pocket. She pulls out this one this week talking about how she could listen to Marcio sing the phone book, which was a popular point that Randy Jackson used to make in his latter days as a judge.
Good Lord.
Let's talk about Mara, not Mara. I think we were wrong because they all call her Mara, right?
I can't call her that.
Why?
It's too far. I'm too far in.
You're too far. You're too far.
Too deep.
You're in too deep.
I'm in too deep with the hair flipper. So yeah. So this week she meets up with Bobby. And she's like the freakiest freak.
You're pulling your Bryce Isaiah cap on.
My Bryce Isaiah cap to call her the freakiest freak. She's somebody who I still am having trouble getting to know. Because I feel like she has an identity and I don't know if I'm here for it. I think that she's somebody who clearly is an amazing singer. That's like a hands down. It's just an undeniable fact. She's a star when it comes to her vocals and her performance capabilities, but her personality is just so buck wild and out of this world that I just like makes me really anxious. But that's just me personally. So
I really like Mara. I've seen some criticism online of her being a little pageanty.
Yes, I could say that's like a really good way to describe it. I just feel like it's just like she's trying to be weird in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's how I feel about it. I don't love when people try to be unique or try to be weird. Like,
just like, let weirdness happen.
Yeah, like if you are weird, that's fine. But like, she's like, yeah, I'm so weird. I'm just so quirky. Like, okay. Are you?
I mean, I think she's a little, I can understand.
She's young though. She's very young. So it's like, I can't really like discredit anything to do with her personality.
And her and Marcio can be on like the funky face tour.
Yes. I think maybe that's another thing that like gets me with her. She definitely makes a lot of funny faces. But she,
The voice is there. The voice is completely there. She sings Run to You by Whitney Houston. And, you know, we've seen teenagers sing Whitney Houston before and falter, but like she
does not.
She is so contained, which I think going in, I had said that, you know, I was hoping since her audition, which was the only thing we really saw her do, was so big and loud, I'm like, okay, hopefully she can, much like Ada,
the energy, contain that energy.
And she was able to.
Well, because what Bobby says is that he loves her confidence. He thinks that it's amazing that she has that and she's really confident in herself. Because
I will say, I think my favorite Bobby pre-tape, maybe of all 24 people,
was
like she did with Mara when he's like, let's watch this tape back. Let me count how many times you flipped your hair.
Exactly. Like, you are just like a little too in it sometimes. So you need to step back and say, let me just contain the energy. Let me just be in one place and sing. And so he challenged her to do that. And I think with this Whitney Houston song where she stands in one place and she just sings, it really showed that she's capable of doing that. My challenge for her would be to wear her hair back.
Yeah, like, put her in a pony.
Put in a French braid, like do something fancy with it. Like, because it's so long. Like I mean, I used to have really long hair. I cut it all off because it's always in your face. Yeah. Like I would be flipping my hair.
More of like a Matty Poppy type of thing.
Now I do have a Matty Poppy. But like if I had hair in my face while I was singing, I would flip it too. So like pull it back, wear a headband. Like, I don't know. It's just something I suggest if you're listening.
I also, to sort of parlay this into the judges' discussion, of course, Lionel's going to name drop. Here, he name drops.
Oh, my God, yes.
Here with Marcio, he name drops Natalie Cole. Of course, you know, Lionel's got to. Yeah, I mean, I would play that card if I were him, so I can't, you know, disparage him too much for that.
He's like, when I knew Whitney, she was such a fragile person coming on the scene, and I feel like you really embodied that. Congratulations, Mara.
Well, let's move on to a duet here. She sings Fight Song with Rachel Platten. You know,
yeah, this was really good.
I really like Rachel Platten's choice to strip things down as well, that really showcases the voice,
especially since we've heard this song so many times.
And it's also because it brings out the emotional quality to it, and that's what I'm really glad we saw. You know, we saw the contained energy on Run to You, and we saw some actual like emotional quality in Fight Song. She talks about how much this song really ruminates with her, and by the end when she starts like
tearing up
and like, you know, I think I'm trying to, I don't know if this was with her, maybe another person, you know, the Bobby or the duet partner said, you know, you can crack a little bit, you can let your voice be emotional, because that shows vulnerability. So I'm happy that that moment wasn't like technically great, but it really just brought things home on a really nice note.
And like we said earlier, I'm glad that Rachel Platten let her, or like came in prepared, because I feel like maybe Cam was somebody on this episode who was not necessarily as invested in her, in the people she was singing with. Like, I think she did a good job and she sang well with them, but she came in, sang with them and left. Like, she didn't come in knowing about the person she was singing with beforehand. Like, whereas Rachel Platten was like, hey, I know you. I did some research. The judges have said this about you. We're going to sing this song this way so that you show them that you can be emotional and you can be vulnerable. So here we go. You know, so I think that's really great.
It was interesting, though, because I would feel like of all these songs, this one actually felt the least like a duet. It felt like Rachel Platten was
it's like accompanying her.
And like she would sing it like
almost like her voice teacher.
Yeah, because like in the middle of the performance, she's like, oh, yeah, great. Like she was like almost not giving direction, but like commenting
on
it.
Or like Mara was singing, then she'd all of a sudden be like, fight song. And like back off.
Yeah.
All right, song.
But if it's going to be her coming in to just sort of more advise and assist,
I'm fine with that.
Just like showcase this obviously fantastic singer.
We all know Rachel can sing. I don't need to hear her sing again.
Yeah, so I really enjoyed Mara. But maybe I skipped over her because I really want to get to Journey.
Journey.
Loved
She took
Journey.
Me on a journey. As they all say every three seconds.
And they're going to say it probably many, many more times. Yeah. So Journey does Flashlight by Jessie J, not as I thought, by Haley Steinfeld in Pitch Perfect 2.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Pitch Perfect 2 song. But
and then she also did Run to You, duet by Lea Michele. I didn't want to do the duet first, but I will say duet of the night for me.
Oh, so good. And they were just like in black and white, and it just looked just, it was such an amazing
duet.
But
let's jump back. Let's shine a light on Flashlight here. What did you think about Journey solo?
I liked it because it wasn't the same version of Flashlight that we hear on the radio. It was like more of an R&B take. And I think that was really, really good. I think that she is probably one of the best singers that we have, vocally speaking. I think that she has like a natural, like we just talked about Mara being one of the best singers, but like Journey has like a maturity to her voice, and it's like an ease and a natural capability that I just don't think anyone else has at this point. And I think that she also has a personality to her voice. Whereas I think Mara comes across as somebody who it's just like a perfect voice, but there isn't a ton of like that personality. Yeah. And like that grit.
Yeah, she's still trying to figure out who she is. Whereas like
Journey knows who she is. Yeah.
On a journey. And I'm throwing some shade to you, Luke, trying to throw out this criticism of like, try to not make it look easy next time. Like, what does that mean?
Let her make it look easy. Yeah, she did come out and just sing it like very casually, which was a little weird, but
I guess what she was trying to say is like bring more, I don't know, emotional fortitude or like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I like how Kenny was like, no, don't
listen to that. Yeah. And I think that she's one of those people that just like will consistently give us good performances. And I just hope that that doesn't like be, she doesn't come complacent with that.
I know that you also.
Oh, my God. Yeah. She does that thing where she like lifts her hand off the mic.
It's weird to do
over
with,
and
like,
over
to,
again.
Like, to describe without actually visualizing it. But like she'll, if you hold out your hand, she'll like keep her thumb and index finger around the microphone and she'll like almost take her hands on it, her other fingers on and off, like she was playing a trumpet or something.
It's very distracting because she has very, very long nails too.
But let's talk a bit about Run to You, because I thought that, I mean, first of all, it was fantastically staged with them starting in black and white on separate ends of the stage and then running to each other. And they just like, I mean,
it was good.
When you hear Lea Michele say like, this is probably the most excited I'll ever be to sing this song, you know, you're in for a treat.
Yeah.
And it was amazing.
And I liked that Journey wasn't too overconfident about it, but she was very, you know, just excited to sing it with Lea Michele, because she says that she wanted to sing it for her solo.
Yeah, and then they said no, and she said, well, can you give me a reason why? And they said, because Lea Michele is coming.
Yeah, they were like, oh, because she'll be here. And then she was like, oh, okay.
Can you imagine if she sang Run to You twice in a row?
Yeah, that would be crazy. So, I'm glad that they partnered her. Imagine if they didn't partner her with Lea Michele and didn't let her sing Run to You. Like,
imagine if like Banners was like, all right, we're going to sing Run to You together now, Journey.
That would be so upsetting. But yeah, so I think that she knocks it out of the park. I mean, this was, like you said, I think that Ada Vox and Lea Michele come close, but the Lea Michele solos or the Lea Michele duets are definitely my favorites.
Yeah, I would say that I put Maddie and Colby up there as well.
Yeah.
And I think that it was just,
these just bring this power and this emotion.
And there was just one moment where Journey and Lea were completely echoing each other, mm-hmm. like around, and they sounded like they were ebbing in and out of each other. I think the judges talked about like the synchronicity and the flow of it was really there. It was just, I'm so happy with her.
Yeah. And I think that she's definitely somebody who is going to be in like the top five.
Hopefully. Knock on wood. Hopefully the audience wants to take the journey as well.
I think so.
Well, let's finish up with these last two here. Unfortunately, these two do not make it through. Let's start with Shannon O'Hara.
So Shannon, somebody who I am not surprised she didn't make it through. And that's really only because she didn't have like the confidence and the sort of oomph to push herself through. She clearly has an amazing voice. And I think that she's definitely somebody who can make it in the biz and maybe would come back and do American Idol or something else. But she just, I think, just falters a little bit this week. I mean, she sings an Adele song for her first song.
But I mean, her voice quality is very Adele-like.
It is, but it's not at the same time. I mean, like, I felt like this was a little too low for her.
There were some low notes that she was a little shaky on.
I felt like she needed something a little bit like more middle range. So the Adele tone and the Adele feeling was there, but the notes were, the range was too low.
It's interesting that, you know, when she was talking with Bobby, she talked about this like unfortunate situation that her family is in, and Bobby was sort of warning her, hey, you know,
don't focus on that.
Don't put too much pressure on yourself feeling like I need to nail this song or else I can't fulfill this, because you're going to drive yourself crazy. Do you think that partly that might have, you know,
I don't think that that's the reason that she didn't ultimately get through. I think that she definitely from the beginning has always had this little bit of like a confidence issue, because she is on the younger side and she's somebody who like is comfortable behind a piano. So I think has always had that like shy quality to herself. So this is like she has to stand in front of a larger crowd and then has to do a duet. And I think that she's just always had like a little bit of like a, it was going to falter at this stage, mm-hmm. but I mean, Bobby's advice was right. I don't think it's wrong advice. And I think that's like really crappy that she's putting that kind of pressure on herself, because it's not her responsibility. But I do think that, no, I don't know if that's necessarily the reason.
Yeah. And I'll agree with Lionel's point that like, she did seem also like physically shaking in the beginning until she hits what he calls the wall. And when she like grabbed the mic out of the stand and like walked around with it, it got a little bit better. And she sings a duet with Cam, Burning House. And I would say, unfortunately, this was one where the artist sort of overshone the idol.
That's what I'm saying. Cam wasn't really somebody who I felt like was working with the artist as much. It was more just like singing alongside them.
Yeah. And that, well, I think just because of the harmonies, like, I feel bad saying this, but Shannon kind of felt, sounded more like a background singer than like a duet partner.
Which sucks, because I think that, you know, if she'd had a different partner, maybe she could have done better. But here we are.
Here we are. Even though Lionel called her like that was a masterclass on how to do a beautiful duet.
All right, Lionel.
Well, let's finish things up here with Rumble Tanya's. I think you know now who Ron is, do you?
Who dis?
You still do. You still don't remember who Ron
is.
No,
okay, so I know who Ron is. I mean, I like Ron. I think that he is clearly a talented performer. But again, like, I think he's somebody who doesn't have like an identity as a performer, if that makes sense. Like, he's a good singer. He's a good, has a good onstage presence, but I don't know who he is necessarily. Like, he just sings good.
He has a nice stone face, though. I like
yeah, there, yeah. Like, he Bob, doesn't smile.
Bobby Bones is like, hey, you don't smile. He's like, yeah, his face is a cross between Bill Belichick and Kanye.
Yeah, and it's like, okay. But I feel like that maybe it was like a good point. Like, he doesn't have that personality and that presence that draws you in. And I think that's a problem when you're on a show like this.
Yeah. So we'll get into his two performances here. We'll start with Dancing on My Own. And I mean, when we ended last week with Cade doing All Along the Watchtower, which is like a bang, then you end with Ron doing Dancing on My Own. And
he was like cracking.
It was a bit of a whimper. And like it just started. Like, I think he had the emotional qualities in there in terms of like performing the song as someone who's, jilted. But
you can see that he's nervous too. You can just tell.
Yeah, it was very shaky. It was out of tune. It was my least favorite.
I think he's just a little out of, like, a little in over his head here.
Yeah, because I think he's very like roughly hewn. He's like very, a lot of these singers are more polished, but I think the judges also really like that unpolished quality, but it can unfortunately reflect negatively on your actual singing.
Yeah.
Where like, if he's sounding a little out of tune, a little shaky, I can understand the judges wanting to like try to pave things over by being like, hey, you're looking good with your fashion.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely stepped it up on the fashion game, which I love.
It's
because
like brown duster.
I do think there is a point in the competition where you need to do that, and I think that he did it a little bit sooner than some of the others, and like Ada has done it a little bit. I think people like Katie need to do that, and I think that there are certain people that are going to need to do that sooner rather than later. Otherwise, America's not going to vote for them. Like, I think you just need to step up your fashion game, step up your like grooming game. I mean, like, you remember when back in the day when what's his face? Not Ruben Sutter.
Clay Aiken
cut his hair.
Yeah.
And like got like a makeover from like the other kids in the house. Like, I feel like that's like what you have to do sometimes to like get the votes. So,
So we had that taken care of.
We got that taken care of.
So let's move on to his duet here with Banners. They're singing Someone to You, which is the song, if you listen to a bunch of the American Idol promos and commercials that aired on ABC in the months leading up.
Yeah, they kept saying that, and I was like, oh, cool.
It's been a couple months. But I'm glad that they at least had him do this, because it is definitely like not a Ron type of song.
No.
It's very upbeat, but I feel like he did it well. Like, he had a good energy to him, and he was smiling as much as he wanted to smile on it.
Yeah, like a teeny bit. And he sounded good. I mean, he didn't sound bad. I just think, again, there wasn't a ton of energy.
I didn't think he was going for those high notes, at least, which were a little more like throwing the high notes, like, da 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 da. Like, it was more like a, hey, let's jump around and smile and sing type of thing.
And then it was kind of like the kiss of death, and they were like, it's not perfect, but perfect is boring. And I was like, ooh.
Yeah, there were some more like, I think when they were talking to Ragu, when they're like, you know, no matter what happens tonight.
Yeah, like, I was like, oh, okay.
They're all preparing you for the downfall. So, any other thoughts about this week two?
No, I'm excited to be going into the next step where the judges don't have total control. I feel like that'll be
Katie
really
will finally stop, grousing about like, I can't do this.
I know. It'll be really interesting, too, because I do feel like we'll lose people that maybe we like. And I do feel like there'll be people that get through that maybe we're not, we feel differently about. Like, I think that, you know, the Maddie Poppies of the world, like, I hope that she gets the votes, but she's not necessarily like the the slam dunks of the world, like Journey. And I feel like it'll be interesting to see how America also feels.
Yeah, so I'll read off the top 14 just to remind everyone of what our group is going into Sunday and Mondays. And this will be, I think, the last dual Sunday and Monday, because they'll be doing performances on that Sunday. And then I think they'll do the result show on the Monday, which they won't be doing after that because of Dancing with the Stars. It'll be on Sundays only from there on out. But our top 14 are in alphabetical order: Gabby Barrett, Johnny Brenz, Marcio Donaldson, Cade Fainer, Caleb Lee Hutchinson, Garrett Jacobs, Journey, Mara Justine, Dennis Lorenzo, Maddie Poppy, Michelle Suzette, Katie Turner, Ada Vox, and Michael J. Woodard. I'll say, if I could pick a top five from this, my own personal proclivities, I would probably do in no particular order. It would probably be for me, Cade, Michael, Maddie, Marcio, Journey. Those are probably my top five.
Interesting. I would probably go Ada, Maddie, Michael. This is really hard.
I know. I might sub out Marcio for Ada. I totally forgot about Ada for a second.
Caleb. And ooh, Journey.
Oh, Caleb. You put Caleb in there.
I want a country boy.
You want a country boy. All right. You want me to start talking with an accent?
No, because okay. It's bad.
Yeah. I forgot about that valid point. So we'll see. We'd love to hear your thoughts out there, too, as to, you know, who the top five are. We're getting this release, admittedly. I know.
Also, we might change.
Yeah, close to the top.
Not hard. Top
five. As the top 14 turn into 10, we're going to be cutting four people right off.
That's crazy.
I mean, I think that, you know, we have 5 weeks of result shows, so they need to, like, clip along a little bit, but I'm really excited about this group. I think we have a pretty darn
it'll be
strong
fun. It'll be fun,
and we'll be back to cover it as well. So
yay!
So Angela, thank you.
Oh my gosh, thank you.
Thank you for joining.
No, thank you.
How can people follow you on social media?
They can follow me at Ange Palagi. So it's ANGPALAGGI on Twitter and Instagram. And you can follow our dog at Lily Bloom Puppy Dog,
which is written in first person like Marcia's son.
It sure is. It's just like that baby.
And you can always follow me at A Mike Bloom Type. You can check out the interviews that I do for Parade.com. I do Survivor Exit Press, and I'm doing a bunch of recently a lot of TV stuff for the Tribeca Film Festival, as well as the other podcasts, RHAP B&B, RuPaul's Drag Race, Westworld, SNL, etc. A lot of stuff going on, but we'll find a time to get together next week to talk through the top 14 going down to 10. Again, let us know your thoughts about this top 14 going in. Who are your favorites? What do you think of this latest group of contestants? But thank you all so much for listening, and we'll talk again next week as the top 14 become 10. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.